past summer, Philadelphia Student Union participated in a leadership institute in West Virginia put on by the Poverty Scholars Program of Union Theological Seminary in Harlem. While there, we got the chance to sit down with Willie Baptist, a longtime organizer and leader in the movement to end poverty. I asked him about his experiences working with the Kensington Welfare Rights Union in Philadelphia.
Well, I came to the Kensington Welfare Rights Union out of almost a 10-year period of involvement with the Homeless Union, national organizing drive. It's an organization of poor and homeless families, mainly welfare mothers. I was the education director for 10 years there. It's being based in Kensington gave it a multiracial character, much more class character, you know, because it didn't look like an all-black or all people of color. It had poor whites. Because Kensington itself, at that time, was basically one-third poor white, one-third poor Latino, and one-third African-American. And there was a growing Asian community. And Kensington was the poorest community in Philadelphia, still is, in the whole state, as a matter of fact. The fact that people were really hurting around problems of housing and food and so on was a tremendous compulsion for us to come together. The influence that surrounded us operated against our unity in a certain respect. But, we maintain an approach where we identified what we had in common and then fought it out on that basis, you know. Like, for example, when I was homeless, we set up a tent city right there, Cecil B. Moore and American Street, and we had about upwards of 50-something families. We set up a makeshift shack. We named it after our illustrious governor at that stage. His name was Ridgeville. We had there, man, you know, a mixture, you know, and we had a guy named Paul. Turns out he was from Pottstown. And he was also a member of the Klan, had been a member of the Klan. So he's sitting off and of course, the black welfare moms and the Puerto Rican moms, he wouldn't let nobody get close to his kids because he was just afraid, you know. But then over time, you know, us dealing with the fact that we needed food, you know, make a long story short, if you touch those, you know, African-American mothers, Latin American, you had to deal with Paul. And if you touch Paul, you had to deal with them. It was just a beautiful relationship. It's just once you get rid of that fear and really focus on what we had in common, we was able to deal with the diversity and a lot of the racial mistrust and all that kind of stuff. But those are just examples. I think another good example is when we decided to march from the Tent City, Ridgeville, to Ridge's Mansion. That's what the thing, from Ridgeville to Ridge's Mansion. That was the governor's mansion in Harrisburg. We knew that the demographics of the state was such that they describe it as Philadelphia one end, Pittsburgh another, and Alabama, Mississippi in between. But we decided at that stage, because we were multiracial, we could figure out an approach, tactical approach, in our march across the state, or toward the middle of the state. So we decided that we would only have our white executive director, who happened to be white, to speak, and I wouldn't be the spokesperson. And that was a good tactic. It recognized those racial fears, and through that, it was able to not have what we were doing to be construed as a inner city Philadelphia black thing, you know? And as a consequence, was able to recruit, as we all along the way, and when we went to Harrisburg, Latinos, blacks, all kinds of people by that tactic. In fact, we found in the area, in the vicinity of Harrisburg, something like 9 encampments, man, mainly poor whites. And the militia, which was in, at that stage, it was kind of this kind of right-wing militia group. They were trying to recruit the veterans from the Gulf War, and the veterans was dealing with the same issues that we was dealing with, and they joined up with us, you know, in our fight, because they were fighting over the same issues. They had fought a war. They were veterans. They wasn't getting their benefits, health benefits, and these are the issues that we brought to the Capitol, and we moved into the Capitol, set up beds on the floor and all that stuff, and carried out our form of lobbying for a good period of time. And we was able to capture the imagination of central Pennsylvania to the point where I had to took up command of the encampment where we were situated by the Capitol there. And in the space of an hour, there was two major groups that came to us. One was the militia, the white militia, and the other one was the black Muslims. And when the white militia come, they come, they, you know, I happen to be in charge, so they send them over to me, and they say, look, we want to help you. We know you guys have been working with the veterans, and y'all been taking up these issues, and can we help? We said, well, what do you want to do? Well, the guy told me, I got in the vicinity, and we are organized, and we got this place surrounded. You know, we got a unit over here, a unit over there, a unit over there. And I'm hearing him. He's talking all this kind of military talk like that. And he says, anybody mess with you guys, they got to deal with us. You know, I say, cool. He said, just to give you an idea of what the real deal is, he had me talk to all the units, you know, on his little walkie-talkie. And they was all like, yes, you know, like, yeah, we're here. And then within about a half hour or so, a little more, the black Muslim guys spin out of their thing with their necktie and their little paramilitary. They come walking on and say, look, you guys deal with issues that our membership didn't deal with. And we think that it'd be good if we can have Farrakhan come out here. Because we had captured, we had captured the media, all the media. We was on radios and going to the local high schools and colleges and speaking and stuff. We had just captured people's imagination because we was just there in the Capitol building. It was all kinds of things that was generated. But the color factor or the racial factor kept coming out in those ways. And I think because we focused on these economic issues, man, that people were hurting by, I think we was able to overcome within ourselves as well as the pressures from outside, these racial cleavages or dissensions and stuff. But we had three demands. One is that there was abandoned houses, and we wanted to put homeless people that we had been meeting to work to tear down the boards, refurbish those houses at a living wage, and then move into the house. That was our housing. That was our job program. And then another one was that we would set up a poor people's embassy that would monitor, you know, legislation and bills that are going through the state legislature, especially those having to do with poverty. And we needed a building and wanted the governor to make provisions for us to be there on site. And then the third one is that we wanted to speak to the governor for real, you know, because we kept making that one of our demands. So he woke us up around 6 o'clock in the morning before the media come, and then he tried to set up and have a meeting with us. But he said, I'll meet with you, but I won't meet with essentially, you know, your white, you know, it was Sherry Hunkler at that stage. I won't meet with her. And he was playing the color game because he wanted to posture himself dealing with Philadelphia, these blacks, because his constituency was mainly the middle of Pennsylvania, which is mainly white. And he knew we were cutting into that base. That's why he had to meet with us, because we were raising the issues, and the way we were raising it was such that people could see themselves in what we were raising. The fact that poverty and homelessness and all the problems, manifestation of poverty, didn't know no color, man. You know, we just had to deal with people, you know, on the basis of the issues, and realizing, you know, the kind of fear and mistrust and racial feelings and stuff like that was there. But we just kept hammering home, man, on the common and working the thing out, you know.
This has been Dan Jones from Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.